Have you ever been hired at a new company or had a new job? And one of the biggest questions that you had was, what is my role? What are my responsibilities? And what am I supposed to do? Most of us at least want to know, you know, what that job entails so that we will know where we fit in. We will know whether or not we're a good fit, whether, you know, what is it that we can bring to the table as well. Well, today we're going to continue looking at our sermon series, The Hope of His Return, Understanding the Second Coming of Christ. And today we want to look at the role of the church. What is the role that the church plays in regard to the second coming of Christ? We're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Grab your Bible, turn to Matthew 28. I'll see you in just a second. Hey folks, I'd like to welcome you to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that your day and your week have gone well and that God has some great and some incredible things in store for you as you continue on, not only this week, but for the rest of your life. I mentioned a moment ago that we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28. This chapter or this particular set of verses we're going to be looking at has been called the Great Commission. Maybe if your Bible has leaders at the top of it or headers, it'll say the Great Commission. Well, that's what we want to look at today. Because we talk about the fact that most people, when they take on a new position, they want to know what their role is, what is expected of me. And I believe many Christians ask that same thing. And unfortunately, many Christians don't. Now, let me qualify that statement, because I think that what happens is too many times people will put their trust in Christ, and then what will happen is they don't think that there's any expectations further than that. Now, let me tell you, we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the thing about it is, God does have some expectations for his children. Yeah, not just to be lazy, not to lay. Matter of fact, the word completely talks against laziness. So as a believer, well, I mean, let's just put it in that realm for a minute. As a believer, what do you think God expects of you? And that's a critical question. And there's something else that I want to point out today. I've done it many, many times, but I want to make sure that I do it again today. So today, as we gather together, we want to reflect on the role of the church in light of the second coming of Christ. Now, as believers, we are called to fulfill the Great Commission, these passages that we're going to look at here in just a moment. But we're called to fulfill that Great Commission with urgency as well as purpose. So let's take a look at what the Word tells us as far as the Great Commission. It's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, particularly verses 18 through 20. So that's where we're going to begin. Matthew 28, beginning with verse 18. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, once again, we ask that your word would spring forth hope and life within each and every one of us. Lord, we're grateful for the promise that says that your word does not return void. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And today, Lord, you have something for us. If we will take a moment to kind of pull ourselves away from the busyness of the world and take these moments, Father, to put on our spiritual ears and hear what you want to tell us, Lord, you'll speak to us. You've given us that promise. So today, Lord, I pray that you will speak to hearts and lives. I pray that you will use me as your messenger for the moment, that you truly would be exalted, that you would be lifted up, and that, Lord, you would draw all men unto you. So, Father, bless our time as only you can, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, all right, as we look at our scripture text today, we need have a little bit of contextual background as to what's going on. Now, after Christ's resurrection, he appeared to his disciples, and he gave them the Great Commission. Now, this command was not just for those that were present at that moment, but it's for all believers throughout history. You see, the church is called to spread the gospel to all nations, baptize new believers, and to teach them to obey God's commands. Those are what the marching orders are. Now, I want us to be careful about how we define church today. And the reason I say that is because most of the time when people think about church, they think about the building down here on the street or the building out in the woods. They think about that picturesque Currier and Ives scene that you see so much. And listen, that's not bad. That is true. That is a church building that you were thinking of. But again, I want to remind us, church is not the building. Church is about the people who make it up. The body of believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. See, you can have a group of people together, and that's what would constitute a church, not a building with stained glass or lack thereof, or carpet or lack thereof. It's not about a building. So remember, when we refer to the church, we are talking about a body of believers, okay? And so as the church, as a body of believers, we are called to do what? To spread the gospel to all the nations, to baptize new believers, and to teach them to obey the commands of God, okay? Now, in these verses that we just read today, Jesus asserts his authority over heaven and earth. He actually states that in there. And he is empowering his followers to go and make disciples, all right? The church is not called to sit idly by, but they're rather called to actively engage in spreading the good news of salvation. Now remember, how did we define church just a few minutes ago? It's not the building. A building can't go out and tell anybody anything. It's the people that are in the building. So the church, the body of believers, or the body that comes together, the church is not called to just sit idly by, but rather to actively engage in spreading the good news of salvation. Now, how does that hit with you today? Because what that means is that if the church is the body of believers, then that means you make that up. If you're a believer, you are the church. So are you actively engaged in spreading the good news of salvation? Or are you just sitting idly by, waiting for somebody else to to take care of it? Well, I can't tell you how many times over my decades of ministry that people have actually had that attitude. Well, it's not my job to tell people about Jesus. That's what the pastor gets paid to do. No, folks. Yeah, the pastor gets paid to disciple you, to teach you how to go out and be actively involved. Now, that doesn't excuse me personally. Obviously, I'm going to go out and share the gospel message, but I'm to equip the saints, that's you, to teach them how to go out and share the good news. And most of the time, that should be fairly easy because we should be doing that out of an overflowing heart of what the Lord has already done for us. So remember, big point that I want you to remember today, the church is not called to just sit idly by, but rather to be actively engaged in spreading the good news of salvation. Now, what else did it say as we get into that? You know, it talked about baptism. Now, baptism symbolizes the believer's identification with Christ, and the teachings of it ensure that new disciples will grow in their faith and they will grow in their understanding of God's word. Now, I've always said it like this. Baptism is not an element of salvation. Baptism is an act of obedience following salvation. However, it is something that the Lord commanded us to do. He commands us to be baptized. In other words, that's your public profession of faith. Now, I know that in our churches and probably a church that you grew up in, we always called that profession of faith when somebody would come down and stand in front of the church and they would say, yes, Jesus is my Savior. I'm telling everybody, you know, that. And that's great. Listen, there is no problem with that whatsoever. But biblically, baptism is the picture of identification with Christ. Baptism is the example or a picture of his death, burial, and resurrection. And here you go. This is the one that should be the kicker. He doesn't ask us to do that as new children. He commands us to do that. So I'm just going to go ahead and ask you, have you been baptized by immersion following your salvation experience? Now, I want you to think of every element of what I just said. Baptized by immersion following your salvation experience. Because so many times what happens is You know, people will, maybe you were at the youth group, maybe you went along with the crowd because a lot was going on back then, and maybe you just didn't understand it at all. But when you were younger, you said, oh, I accepted Christ and then I was baptized. But you really didn't understand nor accept Christ until later on in your life. And people all the time ask me, well, I was baptized back then. Does my baptism back then count for today? No. Remember, you're baptized following your salvation experience. I've always told people, I said, I take a shower about every day. You know, the thing about it is, you know, did I get baptized every day? No. But I got wet. Without that, you're just like taking a bath. So anyway, just wanted to throw that in there as a little extra freebie. But baptism symbolizes the believer's identification with Christ. And the thing about it is that the teachings of the Bible ensure that new disciples grow in their faith and understanding of God's word. I say this is where oftentimes the church hasn't done such a great job over the years. I mean, we may do really good in evangelism. We may do really good at going out there and sharing the good news of Christ. And then when somebody comes to know him, you know, we slap them on the back. We walk with them through the waters of baptism. And then it's just like, we're like, there you go. Discipleship is something that is lacking in our churches and across the spectrum today. Discipleship, teaching somebody to grow in their relationship with the Lord, to be a true follower of his. And it's ironic that the Lord tells us in that scripture, he said, go and make disciples. Okay, so are we doing that? Or have we been effective at doing that? Okay, now, the Great Commission, as it's called in the Word, the Great Commission is a central aspect of the mission of the church. You know, it reflects God's heart for all people to come to know him and to be saved. Now, notice what I said, for all people to come know him and to be saved. There's theology out there that says that the gospel message is not for everyone. I don't buy that. I don't believe it. I don't believe that the word propagates that. Because the word says, Jesus said, I would that none should perish. So our job is to get the gospel message out there. We're not responsible for the results because we're not the Holy Spirit. But it is the church's mission. It should be a central mission to go out and to share the good news, you know, and you know, it reflects, you know, God's heart for all people to come to know him and to be saved. And as believers, we're called to be ambassadors for Christ. You know, how many times that I believe there were songs back when we were children and we were growing up and talked about being, you know, ambassadors for Christ. But as believers, we are called to be ambassadors for Christ. You know, we're to be out sharing his love and his truth with a world that's in need of salvation. Now, if you look around you, I guarantee you that you could probably sit back and most of you would say, yeah, this world really, really needs Jesus. Well, yeah, they do. Well, how are they going to find out about him unless we're diligent to tell them? Okay, so now as we consider what we've looked at today, as we consider, you know, what we've learned today, and as members of the church. Now, notice what I said, as members of the church. Folks, there's really only one church. That is the church of people who are born-again believers who have trusted in Jesus Christ with their Savior, or as their Savior, and have been obedient to him to follow his commandments and are being discipled, growing daily. I always like to use this example about, you know, it's often been referred to as spiritual food, the Word of God. If we physically took in nourishment in the same manner that we took in spiritual nourishment, how would we look? You know, would we be overweight? Would we be skinny as a rail? Would we be barely hanging on? You know, so what food is to the body for strength and for nourishment, the Word of God is for the soul of those who have trusted in Christ. So if you're only eating one time a week, and you get what I'm saying, see, a lot of times people are like, well, the only time I touch my Bible is I pick it up, blow the dust off of it, and carry it with me Sunday morning when I go to church. All right, well, nope, that's not getting it. You wouldn't eat a meal one time a week. Most of us eat several times a day, more probably than we should. I'm guilty. But yet, we need that nourishment. What about our spiritual health? We need spiritual nourishment, and that comes from being in the Word of God. That comes from being in prayer with him. That comes from spending time with the master. Are you doing that? How's your spiritual health when it comes down to your diet? But as members of the church, we must take the Great Commission that we've read about today, we must take it seriously. See, we're called to be intentional in our evangelism efforts. I want to pause right there for a moment. A lot of times we'll use the word, we need to do this on purpose, or we need to purpose to do that. That means that it's not just accidental. And you and I are called to be intentional, or we are called to, on purpose, have those evangelism efforts within our lives. And by the way, remember what I said a minute ago? I said, the church is not the building. If the church is the people who make it up, that includes you as a born-again believer. So you are called to be intentional in your evangelism efforts. I am called to be intentional in my evangelism efforts in reaching out to those who have not yet heard the gospel message or have not yet given their life. So, you know, I've said this before, God doesn't call everybody to be a preacher, but God does call everybody to be a witness. He calls all of his children to do that. So as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart today, where do you stand with how you're doing? You know, we talked before about expectations. You know, what is the role of the church? And you've discovered that you are the one that makes up the church. So what are your responsibilities as we await the second coming of the Lord? It's clear and simple right here that we're supposed to reach out with the gospel message to those that are around us, those in our sphere of influence, not just the ones sitting in the church. Listen, it's easy to be a witness in the church. What about those that are on your job? What about the person that's in the office next door to you? What about your neighbors? Yeah, what about the clerk in the grocery store line? What about these people that you come in contact? What about the guy that mows your grass? Or what about the neighbor? There are just so many people. And God hasn't placed you where you are by accident. He's placed you there for a reason. He has put you in that sphere of influence to be an influence for him. Now, have you done that? Yeah, are you reaching out to those who are around you? Maybe those who have not heard the gospel. And you know what? To do that, now this is what you got to understand, and I know most of you do, but to do that, that task requires a couple of things. It requires boldness. You have to be able to stand up and say, yes, I am a born-again believer. That's how I live my life. I live my life by a biblical worldview that is taught from the Word of God, and I'm not going to compromise that. You know, you can do that in a kind way. You don't have to be a jerk about that. But you can proclaim the gospel with boldness, and that's going to be required. Another thing is compassion, and I can't speak this enough. You know, not too long ago, we did a Wednesday series on the miracles of the Messiah. And if you remember, you kept hearing this reoccurring theme as we were going through that. And that reoccurring theme was that Jesus had compassion on the crowd, or Jesus had compassion upon the one that was crippled. Jesus had compassion. Compassion, compassion, compassion. Do you care? You know, so yeah, listen, you're never going to be the witness you need to be unless you first care about those who need to be witnessed to. Yeah, do we really care whether or not people die and go to hell? Think about it for a moment. Now here's the thing. If we really cared, that care creates a passion for us to see them come to know him, and that passion will create a drive within us that will move us to do something to change that situation. That's just the way it works. You know, do you have compassion on your fellow man? Do you have compassion on your family members? Do you know that all of those people that you know and that you love, if they shut their eyes on this earth today, that they would open them in the presence of Jesus and in the kingdom of heaven? Do you know that? You know, sometimes people say, well, Pastor Roy, how would I know that? I said, you know, you don't have to beat around the bush. Ask them. I do that all the time. I'll go up and ask somebody and say, look, you know what? If you were to die this very day, do you know without any shadow of a doubt that you would spend all of eternity in the kingdom of heaven? Do you know that to be a fact? Boy, that's a great conversation starter. And you know, you'll find out which way to go depending on what they tell you by asking that question. And then sometimes I'll ask that simple question that was part of the faith-based model that, that simply asked, it said, in your personal opinion, what do you understand that it takes for a person to go to heaven? By the way, everybody's got an opinion, and most people really like to give you their opinion, okay? So you can figure out from there which way to go. But by the way, the Holy Spirit is the one that will give you the words to say when it's the time to say it. Just be an available instrument in His hand. So remember, to share the gospel is going to require boldness, it's going to require compassion, and it is going to require a deep reliance on the Holy Spirit for guidance and strength. Folks, we can't do it ourselves. We're not called to do it ourselves. And here's something else that's critical. We are not responsible for the results. You know, we are responsible to be the messenger, to carry the message to a lost and dying world. What they do with that is up to them, knowing that they will stand someday before the Master and they will give an account for the way they answered the question, what will I do with Jesus? Have I trusted Him? Do I believe what He accomplished through His death, burial, and resurrection provides eternal life for me, and my sins are forgiven. Today, listen, you don't have to worry about me. I'll tell you right now. I'm a born-again believer. I've trusted in Christ, and I know that I'm going to spend an eternity in heaven when my time on earth runs out. I pray that you will be too. So listen, don't get mad at me if I come up and say to you, hey, do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Do you know for a fact that you'll spend eternity in heaven? And the reason I say that is because I don't know some creative way to try to beat around the bush to ask those questions. So I just ask them outright. And I can't tell you how many times that not long in the future after asking that question, I have stood in front of a church, or I have stood at a cemetery, or I have stood at a funeral home and preached the funeral of that person who assured me that they were on their way to heaven. And what a joy it was to be able to share that hope that a funeral is not goodbye for a believer. It's just, I'll see you later. So I hope and trust and pray that you have trusted Christ. And I hope and trust and pray that today you realize that you are an element that makes up the church, and that what our marching orders, what our role is as we wait for the second coming, is to fulfill the Great Commission, to take the gospel to every nation, to make disciples for Christ. Boy, what a great, great opportunity that is. And here's the cool part. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You know, if you're part of our church, we have mission trips that go out. We've got them that go, you know, across the backyard, that go across the county, that go across the state, that go across the country, that go across the seas. So, you know, there's ways for you to be able to be an active participant in reaching out to those who need to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. The question is, are you willing and available? Available is a huge word, isn't it? You know, how available are you? So, as we await the return of Christ, which is what we've been talking about, may we be found faithful in fulfilling the Great Commission, and may we be diligent in making disciples. Listen, that's a huge thing. Remember I said I think the church has failed in that area. We're not as good at disciple makers as we should be, or often that we think we really are. So we need to share that gospel message, which is the Great Commission, and we need to be diligent in making disciples, baptizing believers, and teaching God's Word. Now remember, I want to remind you of this one more time. Baptism is not salvation. Baptism is an act of obedience following salvation, but yet it is a commandment of God that we should be baptized. So what is it that we want to do? We want to be diligent about sharing the gospel. We want to be making disciples. We want to be baptizing believers, and we want to be teaching God's Word. Let us not get complacent, but rather be driven by the urgency of the gospel message. Complacency is a word that man, it hits hard for all of us. What happens is when we get so accustomed to something, we will become complacent. And I don't want to insult your intelligence. You know what we mean by that. But see, as Christians, too often we can find ourselves complacent in our walk. We can find ourselves complacent in our responsibilities of what God has called us to do. And by the way, this is what God has called us to do. I didn't just make this up. You read about it yourself right here in the Word of God. He says, we are to go fulfill the Great Commission. Those are not Roy's words. Those are thus saith the Lord words, okay? So may we not grow complacent, but rather be driven by the urgency of the gospel message because time is at hand. We don't know how much time we've got left. We may not even have the rest of this day, but the question is, are we ready? Are we prepared? See, may the church rise up and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ even to the ends of the earth. Would you pray with me? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we come to you today, we want to thank you for the privilege of being a part of your church and carrying out your mission here on earth. Father, help us to be faithful in fulfilling the Great Commission and sharing your love with those that are around us. Lord, we ask that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit to be bold witnesses for Christ. And Lord, we do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, folks. Listen, I want to let you know before we sign off today what we're going to be looking at this week. Remember, we are continuing our series. I think we've got one more. I think next week we'll conclude our series. But the series is called The Hope of His Return, Understanding the Second Coming of Christ. And next week, or actually your Bible readings for this week going into next week, I want you to spend some time in Revelation chapter 21. Now, don't let that scare you and don't let that overexcite you, okay? Revelation chapter 21. All right, next week we're going to be looking at the new heaven and the new earth out of Revelation chapter 21. We're going to conclude our series with a vision of the eternal state of the hope that awaits each and every believer after Christ's return. And I hope and pray that you will join us next week for the Wednesday Bible study right here, same time, 6 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays. And if you're in our area, as always, I would certainly love to invite you to come and worship with us in spirit and in truth at Central Baptist Church on Sunday mornings. Our service times, we start at 10:45. We have a bunch of discipleship opportunities that you can be a part of, and we would certainly love to have you come visit with us. If you need any other information, you can contact us through the website, or you can give the church a call, and I hope to see you on Sunday. God bless you. Have a great rest of your week. ¶¶